morning. It is a blessing to be here and to also be here with all of you. Everything that we think is of value
do not protect that science, the thing that is most valuable. And that is our soul. Especially those that are lost and are unaware of their soul and the condition of it. They protect everything but that soul. Matter of fact, they do the things that are detrimental to the soul. And this isn't something that we experience on this here or town or here or city or here or nation, but this is something that is global, this is something that is worldwide, this is something that is historically true. The most dangerous threat against us is a spiritual threat. And the children of God cannot avoid being targets of false shepherds in this world. And false shepherds seek to destroy man spiritually. And this is why it is all of grace that God would send his Son, not only as a conquering king, but even before he comes as conquering king, the Father sent his Son as a good shepherd to have a sheep and to protect us spiritually. And the question that I have for you this morning is, do you know the true shepherd? Do you know the true shepherd in a world filled with false shepherds and all sorts of people that try to corral you and control you and drive you into a particular direction? Are you able to cut through all of that and identify who the true shepherd is? If you're not in John chapter 10, please turn to John chapter 10, and I want to remind us that John chapter 10 should not be separated from John chapter 9. Jesus uses John chapter 9 in the story of him giving sight to the man born blind. God gives us that portion of scripture to really set us up to identify this true shepherd. Who is the true shepherd? Not the one that preys on the sheep, but the one that finds the sheep, even blind sheep. As you are in Christ, there was a point when you were a blind sheep. And if you are still a blind sheep, Christ is coming to come to him. And he gives us precious, precious scripture of what we have before us. The Pharisees removed, they kicked out the blind man, the formerly blind man, and then he's having this conversation because Jesus goes and he finds him. And Jesus in John 9:31 says, to the Pharisees, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say, we see your sin remains. The blind who have spiritual sight, yet their spiritual sight did not include them being able to identify or recognize that Jesus is the Messiah, which is the most important point spiritually. And since it's nice to see the sin remains. But Jesus came to give sight to the blind. And Jesus goes on in John chapter 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Let me back up. Verse 2. But he
enters that door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were, what she had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the word of God. This is how Jesus begins his discussion of being the good shepherd. The good shepherd is here. If your soul wanted me to continue to read the verse 11 in relation to the good shepherd part, no, I had to cut it off there, or else I would be tempted to preach the midnight thing. This morning's sermon is titled, "Do You Know the True Shepherd?" Do you know the true shepherd? John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. The first 6 verses I want us to look at this point, and that is the point that Jesus makes between false shepherds versus the true shepherd. As a contrast, false shepherds versus true shepherd. It is interesting to notice that the first thing that Jesus begins to point out is simply the approach of the false shepherd. The approach of the false shepherd. It's a deceptive approach. It's an alternative approach. It's an approach that avoids the door. The other day, some time ago, someone came to talk to me, and I didn't know them. They were needed some kind of help, and for whatever reason, they did not knock on the front door. I went to the very gate, and I seen a man there, and I was immediately alarmed. "What is wrong with you? Why did you not go to my front door?" It took a millisecond for me to realize something wasn't right, because the approach was all wrong. Jesus says that they do not enter by the door, but they come into the fold of the sheep by climbing up some other way. All we need to consider is that the time that Jesus writes this, everybody is aware of how sheep are kept. And sometimes they're walled in, fenced in. Sometimes there's a stone gate. Jesus doesn't say that there are brutal murderers or something like that. That really kind of catch our attention. And then we hear thieves and robbers and we're, okay, big deal. And it is a big deal. The first question that we want to ask ourselves is, are thieves and robbers the same thing? All thieves and robbers are associated with the same thing, and that is stealing. That is taking what is not theirs. But they can be differentiated. They can be divided by the fact that a thief is going to take what is not theirs in a deceitful way to steal as to not be caught. The thieves come in at night. And the difference between the thief and the robber outside of that is that a robber is going to take what is not theirs by force or by threat. So on one hand, you have someone who is attempting to steal something but doesn't want to be caught. So they can kill themselves and they hide themselves and they're deceptive. And then you have the other that doesn't care, they're maybe more brazen. Matter of fact, they don't mind the conflict. That's all part of it. Because they're going to take what they want by force. Take what they want maybe with a weapon or with some kind of threat. And so I want to remind you, beloved, that you are a precious flock of God. You're a precious flock. You are who Christ laid his life down for. And the value of one sheep, let alone a fold, a flock, priceless. Absolutely priceless. And so we don't want to look down on his word or his life of thief and robber. If someone tries to steal some of them, you feel bad for them. But when someone tries to steal your most prized possession and they go through planning and manipulate situations as to take something of infinite value, you look at it far, far differently. And so when we look at these thieves and robbers who desire to steal precious sheep of God, it makes it an atrocious sin. All of Jesus' words are worthy of our consideration, but especially when he says something like this in verse 1, truly, truly, I say to you. That is to grab the listener's attention. Truly, truly, see what I am about to say. Pay attention. Let your ears be open. Consider all the times that Jesus uses this pattern, which is unique to John's gospel. Here, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you don't find them saying truly, truly. John is using this to pick up on Jesus' words. John chapter 3, verse 3, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. How important is it to be born again? All right. And he says, truly, truly. John chapter 8, verse 51, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see. You hear the two examples of Jesus using truly, truly for these incredibly important statements that he makes, not to belittle or make us think less of anything else he says, but he's the one that said it. He said it like that for a reason. Shame on us if we think the word of God or we think the word of Christ are redundant. consider what he said in verse 2. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. You see that contrast? He doesn't come in some other way. He comes in with nothing to hide. He comes up to the door. He approaches the doorkeeper. And the doorkeeper opens the gate to the shepherd. Verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens. I thought it was interesting. I think it's interesting that the sheep hear him. It's almost as if the sheep hear the exchange between the shepherd and the doorkeeper. And the sheep have their ears pricked. They open up. They detach the sound of their shepherd. And they recognize their shepherd. And it reminds me of when I was young, my father had a whistle. And if your father had a whistle, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When I was a brother, I could be playing at the park, and it could be loud, there could be hit-ups, there could be fighting, there could be football. But if you heard that whistle, we knew it was dad. And since we knew it was dad, we knew we had to stop what we were doing and go to where that whistle came from. But this is not like my dad's whistle. You see, my dad did not have a special whistle for me and a special whistle for my brother. He just had one that would catch all of us. What we need to focus on is the shepherd calls his own sheep by name. My name. Do you remember when the Lord called you? Was it because he was just saving everybody and just went with the flow? Or do you realize that he called you individually? The greatest love that he could display to you, calling you out of your sin, waking you up to see that he is your Savior. He calls you by name because he knows your name. Why would the one that calls by name not know you? I don't think you have to ask the Father, but what's his name again? But where are they? He's the shepherd. He's the one that knows his sheep. He's the one that goes to his sheep. He can find his sheep. And he can gather his sheep. And he will. Every last one of them. Because when roll call is taken in heaven, they will not say, well, that's the one that the shepherd couldn't find. That's the one that avoided the shepherd. That's the one that said no to the shepherd. How powerful is sheep? Could a sheep be here? The shepherd called that sheep by name. And the sheep not come. What kind of shepherd would you call that shepherd if that shepherd desired to shepherd that sheep, and because of the stubbornness of the shepherd, left the sheep? Because of the stubbornness of the sheep left the shepherd. No. This is not somebody talking about Jesus. This is Jesus speaking about himself. He said, but the shepherd calls his friend sheep, calls his mission sheep, calls his own sheep by name. That is such a precious statement. It gives us context when we read in Ephesians that Christ purchased the church that was preordained before the foundation of the earth. if you know their name, you better believe that God knows your name. And we just pray that the Lord would save all his sheep. We see the Lord use the name of the sheep in the next chapter. In the next chapter. John 11:43. Lazarus, come forth. The old pastors, the old preacher's story is because the Jennifer said, come forth, good person. And everyone would came out of the grave, he had to say, Lazarus. Well, at one point he said, right. And at one point he said, exactly. And it is just a testimony of the personal relationship and nature, the quality of salvation. Deeply, deeply personal. Calling his own sheep by name is not blind selection. It's not just using it out and just swinging it. It's not like the arcade machine claw game, whatever that game is called, and you use that joystick and you're going for the teddy bear, but somehow you get a voodoo or something like that. Or perhaps you don't get anything at all. How sad were a shepherd's call be that none of the sheep responded to him? How sad would it be to find in scripture that Jesus desired to save sheep and he called them and they didn't come? He was able to get them. And then when sheep wander off today, we would have no hope that he would ever bring them back. None whatsoever. But because we know that he calls his own sheep, and that he gives every sheep that he desires to get, we know that he will give them, and we have some kind of hope. Because he's a true shepherd. And he knows his sheep. And by now, on this side of the cross, we know that they are his sheep because he's prayed, he's paying a price to purchase those sheep. And as he calls them, he leads them out. He doesn't drive sheep. Never drives sheep. He didn't run. The angel of the Lord, who is the pre-incarnate Christ, leads Israel out of Egypt. He knows before them, when Israel's threatened, he repositions himself behind them to protect them. He leads his sheep. He goes out, he calls each by name, and once they're all there, inventory is taken, he begins to go before them, not driving them. He goes before his sheep. He clears the way for his own sheep. He scouts the land for his own sheep, and sometimes the terrain is perilous for him. Without a shepherd, those sheep would perish. But because the shepherd is with the sheep, because the shepherd clears the way for the sheep, because the shepherd assists the sheep and guides the sheep and mends the sheep and comforts the sheep and carries the sheep. And the sheep make it. So no matter what the Lord has allowed in our life and on this terrain, he will get the sheep to heaven. He will get the sheep to heaven. Whether he has to carry the sheep. And he's carrying more than we think. And he's carrying us even when we don't realize it. The shepherd loves his sheep. Verse 4 and verse 5, it says, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger is him that will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not follow the shepherd, not because they recognize the appearance of the shepherd. And that is deeply significant, beloved. As a pastor, I cannot emphasize this in a more greater way. Sheep do not follow the shepherd. And what Jesus is saying here, the sheep are not following because they recognize it by eyesight. They recognize the shepherd. He's telling us that they recognize the voice. They know. It is an intimate knowledge. The sheep recognize. They're familiar with the voice of their shepherd. It's not that they don't know a stranger's voice. It is that they do not personally have any familiarity with that voice. And so that voice scares them and makes them flee, not follow. Why is this important? And this is deeply, deeply important. Because false shepherds always disguise themselves so that sheep that are not familiar with the sound of their shepherd follow what they think is the appearance of a godly person. To prove that, the Apostle Paul tells us this in 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. What is an angel of light like? Is this brightness? No. Light is knowledge. Light is spiritual maturity. And Satan disguises himself as someone that knows the word of God and has not got the image bearers, the first image bearers of Paul. But Satan is an angel, a fallen angel, and cannot be everywhere at once, and is certainly tormenting and seeking to devour and threaten somebody right now. Perhaps here, perhaps not here, who knows, but God. So should we not feel threatened? No, we should feel threatened because 2 Corinthians 11, 14 through 15 goes on, right? Satan is going to himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising that his servant also disguises himself as servants of righteousness. And so, Lord, please hear my word. I'm okay if I'm not your favorite pastor. I'm okay if I'm not your favorite preacher. I'm a resident of God. There are a lot of people preaching. And there are a lot of people that should not be preaching. James tells us that. Not only preaching, but also just teaching in general. I can't do anything, and I'm not going to monitor who's on your playlist or what people you listen to. I'm not going to tinker with that. Unless you can just open it up and say, yeah, listen to this person. And I know they're wrong, then you know what? It would be all up to me to just leave that alone. But it is absolutely vital that you know the Word of God. You know Jesus' Word so that when you're not being monitored, not that that's my desire, but I also have a better way to say it. When you're on your own listening to whoever, but they're not leading you to some other doctrines, and these doctrines of demons, they're leading you astray. And I'm totally fine if you're listening to something and say, hey, what do you think about this? I heard this. I'm okay. Look at you weird or funny or anything like that. What I'm saying is that person that you listen to is not going to be an account for your soul whatever you've done. And the shepherds here are little and each of us care deeply about your spiritual state and condition. False shepherds don false clothing of a wolf or of a sheep. They don clothing to make you believe that they're righteous, make you believe that they're a servant of righteousness, when actually they're a servant of Satan seeking to devour you. So that's just a word of caution. Please don't just let the prayers just aimlessly go. At least check where they minister, if they minister what they believe. I mean, you have it at a nanosecond. Reviews on Pastor so-and-so. Preacher so-and-so. Just so that you know. That being said, I hope and I pray that it's never, that it is never simply my voice that you hear. But I hope that my shepherd with the voice of Christ that would remind you of Christ, that would push you towards loving Christ, that would call you to repentance towards Christ, and never a follow simply me, but I aim to live to the standard of follow me as I follow Christ. And I know that I share that same heart with the rest of the elders here in this church. We need to study the Word of God, be familiar with the Word of God, so that we know the shepherd's voice. The end of this version in verse 6, John lets us know this figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. And that's because they're blind. They're spiritually dead. They're spiritually blind. They're unaware of who is before them and who is speaking to them. But the question again that I have for us is, do you know this shepherd? Do you know the true shepherd? Do you recognize the shepherd's voice? Do you respond to the shepherd's voice? Do you hear the word of God? Is your heart quick to apply it to your life? Or does the word of God, does the shepherd's voice hit a brick wall? If you do not know him, and you will not hear his words, and you haven't received him, you won't receive his words. If that's the case, you cannot follow him, and you may just fall prey to false shepherds who will ultimately lead you down the road to destruction. Verses 7 through 10, the point that Jesus makes is that this is a matter of life and death. And some of you think about robbers and thieves and strangers and false shepherds. Don't frown too bad. And that's just part of the problem. We can just look at these things lightly. We don't see them as a true threat. But they are a true threat. Verse 7, so Jesus said to our king, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.
thieves and robbers, and the thieves and robbers exist only. Not a problem, but only. Ultimately, kill and destroy. But Jesus here in verse 7 says, again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And this is his third I am statement in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And now he said that he is the door. And while many have come before him, the sheep did not follow him. Jesus is the door of the sheep. Why? Why is Jesus the door? Because Jesus provides salvation for the sheep. Simply put, Jesus provides salvation. There is salvation in Jesus. John 3:16, the gospel of the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. And whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He is the door. John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Because Jesus is the door. The reason that John wrote this gospel, chapter 20, verse 31, he writes, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Because Jesus is the door. Lord, notice that Jesus did not say that he is a door. To suggest perhaps that there are multiple ways to be saved, or multiple routes to salvation, or to suggest that you can avoid Jesus' way and go another way and still be saved. He is not a door. He is the door. And that is why in John 14:6 he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Not a way, not a truth, not a type of life. It is the way and the truth and the life that is given through Jesus. Acts 4:12. And there is salvation nowhere else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved, because he is the door. And 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator, also between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Only one way, only one door. This means that Jesus is the only one that offers salvation. Salvation is only possible through him, and it's only possible on his terms. You must believe. You must believe. You must believe in order to enter the door. John 3:15, whoever believes in him, whoever believes will in him have eternal life. Hebrews 7:25. He is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him. And if those were not clear enough, Gabriel's words to Mary in Matthew 1:21, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus is the door. And if you have not approached Jesus as the door of salvation, I would plead with you, I do plead with you, I beg you, that you will see that the door is not shut to you. The door is very much
now and still before this shepherd of the sheep, this door to salvation. And let's thank him for the grace that he has bestowed on us. Father, I do thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your blessing. I thank you for sending us the true shepherd. And in a world filled with false shepherds, they open our ears and open our hearts and believe in him, and he draws us out of this wretched world and into his wonderful and beautiful kingdom of light. Thank you, and I praise you for your son, our mediator, the Lord and the shepherd. Help us to rejoice in the salvation that you have given to us through this wonderful shepherd. In Jesus' name.